Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, podcast friends and family. You're listening to Locked On NHL, your daily source for NHL news, trivia, predictions, and sometimes just sheer terror for what the future holds. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of Locked On Kings, and also your usual best friend on Mondays and Wednesdays of this very show, Locked On NHL. And today I'm pleased to bring you the first in our week-long series of season previews. This week you'll hear from all 31 teams in the league, plus you'll be getting advice from Locked On Fantasy host Scott Cullen. Today we start with the North Division, where all of our Canadian teams will get to know each other really well over the course of the season. We're going to start with the Toronto Maple Leafs and then take it from there. Teams, by the way, are going to be presented to you, ordered off of the futures odds from betonline.ag, the official sportsbook partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. So let's get things started with Mike DiStefano, host of Locked On Maple Leafs.
Hey everyone, I'm Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs. Maybe you hear me on every Tuesday show with Joe DiBiase on the Locked On NHL podcast, but here I am doing the Leafs preview here on the Locked On NHL show, and we've got our six questions that everyone's been asked to answer. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to answer them for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So the biggest storyline heading into the season for the Maple Leafs, well, I think it's whether or not the new additions make this team better. You know, you take a look at what they've added in the likes of Wayne Simmonds, Joe Thornton, Zach Bogosian, Jimmy Vesey, and look at what's been subtracted, right? Tyson Barrie, Kasperi Kapanen, Andreas Janssen. They sacrificed a lot of speed and skill for toughness and veteran leadership. Is that the right route to take? We're not sure. It clearly didn't work last year or the year before when Kyle Dubas tried to put together, you know, a team that was built off of speed and skill, and there was always that little missing element of grit. Is that the missing element that he added this offseason? We'll have to see. So what's the biggest storyline? Are the new additions going to actually make this team better? Is the toughness and grit better than the speed and the skill, especially within the bottom six of the lineup with the guys like Simmonds and Thornton and Jimmy Vesey and so on and so forth, Zach Bogosian, a little bit of bite on the back end. So I think that's probably the biggest storyline heading into the 2021 season for Toronto. Okay, what needs to happen for the best case scenario? So apparently we're not allowed to say everyone stays healthy, but clearly that's going to be the number one thing for everyone to have their best season is for everyone to stay healthy. But other than that, I think the young guys need to make a leap this year. They need to mature a little bit. We've heard time and time again, even back as far as my, well, wasn't that far back, but you know, Mike Babcock last year talked about a lack of maturity from this team, talked about how they lacked identity. And then, you know, the word maturity and lack of maturity is more the word that I guess has been used with Sheldon Keefe and with Kyle Dubas. And they went out and they added some veteran leadership to this group to try and help mature the younger ones, like Matthews, Marner, Nylander. If this team can learn to play 60 minutes on any given night, I truly believe that they can win against almost any team, and certainly all the ones in the North Division. So, you know, maturity, and through that maturity, play hard every single night, every shift, every minute you're out there, a full 60-minute effort. It's not something that we saw a lot last year, and I think if that happens on most nights, I believe that the Leafs will win a lot of hockey games, and that includes the playoffs. Look, Marner can have these hiccups in the playoffs again. Freddie needs to win the big game. 0-7 in Game 7, we know that. It's not a good look, and let's hope that he can break the streak, or well, better yet, win it in 5 or 6 games so you don't have to sit through the whole game with that massive anxiety. But yeah, certainly this team just needs to mature and play full 60-minute efforts because they have the skill, they have the toughness now, the leadership, and personally, I think they just have the roster to beat almost any team in the league, certainly every team in the division, and that will be the best way for the Leafs to come out victorious this year. What would lead to the worst-case scenario? Again, we're not allowed to say injuries, but if injuries occur, that's going to sink any organization. But outside of that, I think the worst case scenario for Toronto would be for Freddie to falter this season. If he kind of loses confidence and loses himself and goes in a big dry spell where he's given up, you know, 3, 4, 5 goals a night, like we've seen happen in the past. Last year, he went through a couple of weeks there where he was allowing, like, I think he had a goals against of like 422 or something like that over the course of a 3-week span. So that cannot happen. That would be worst case scenario. And, you know, he's going into a contract year. He needs to come up big. And I hope he doesn't just put too much pressure on himself and can play up to his capabilities without having to, you know, play with that added pressure. They added some help up front defensively. They got some more defensive-minded players. You know, they helped on the back end by helping out the D, putting in TJ Brody, a guy like Zach Bogosian, Mikko Lehtinen out from playing out in the KHL. So they've added quite a bit to this back end. So I think Freddie is more than good enough to lead this Leafs team to the promised land. And that would be the worst case scenario. Is if he falters this year, I don't see that being the case. Number four, how will division realignment affect your team's chances this season? Well, Toronto finds themselves in a division with all 7 Canadian teams. And last I checked, Boston and Tampa were not located in Canada. So this realignment really works out extremely well for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're finally the top dogs in the division and have the best odds to represent Canada in the semifinals or maybe even the Stanley Cup finals. Because remember, once you make it out of the division, all you got to do is win one more series, and you can get your get a spot in the Stanley Cup final. So division realignment worked out real well for Toronto. Question number 5. A player whose career trajectory is most impacted this season, either good or bad. I guess in terms of good, I'll say the big three. You know, this is a chance for Matthews and Marner and Nylander to really cement themselves as a part of the league's elite players, that crop of players who are elite that come and play each and every night. I think guys like Jimmy VC, Wayne Simmons, Thornton Spezza, and maybe even a guy like Bogosian, you know, these are people who are pretty long in the tooth. They've had long, successful careers, and it could be their last dance here if they don't play well and the season goes sideways on them. It may be time to hang them up. So I guess in, you know, a bad sense, if they don't play well, it's probably the end of their careers. So that would be a pretty bad career trajectory if it goes right in the gutter. Hopefully it does not, though, because, you know, you never want to see guys lose or leave the game before they're ready to themselves. Number 6. Your best guess on how the season ends. Well, I think the season ends with the Toronto Maple Leafs as Stanley Cup champions, baby. Go Leafs, go!
If you're looking for fantasy value in Toronto, consider William Nylander. After a mess of a 2018-2019 season, Nylander bounced back last season with a career-high 31 goals. Not only did he increase his shot rate, but he also scored the vast majority of his goals from the dirty area right in front of the net, silencing critics who might have bought into the notion that he was a perimeter player. Now, at the same time, you may want to avoid Wayne Simmons. There's lots to like among the high-end forwards in Toronto, but it's still noteworthy that Simmons appears to have crossed the threshold towards fantasy irrelevance. In his past 85 games, spread between Nashville, New Jersey, and Buffalo, Simmons has 8 goals and 28 points. Now, he also has 169 hits in that time, and that's something. But maybe not enough to make up for his decline in scoring.
Thanks to Mike for sharing his thoughts on the Leafs. If you heard that and you find yourself inspired to go put some money down on Leafs winning the division, or Austin Matthews winning the Art Ross, or, you know, whatever floats your boat, then there's only one place you should be going to fill that need, and that is betonline.ag. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. With the NHL season nearing a start, it's time to start making predictions. And if you listen to this show every day this week, you're going to come away with a pretty good picture of what the NHL season could look like. And what better way to test our knowledge and yours than by getting in on that Bet Online action. So don't sit on the bench anymore. Get in on that action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. mercifully over, and so it is time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you are betting this year and you want more wins, you can listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. It's time to head to Alberta next and check in on the Oilers. We're joined by Locked On Oilers host Hernan Salas for a preview of what's going on in Edmonton. Plus, hear from Locked On Fantasy host Scott Cullen all throughout today's show, giving you the best fantasy hockey tips to help you rock your office pool.
The biggest storyline heading into the season for the Edmonton Oilers, active GM for sure in the offseason, brought in a lot of players, most notably Tyson Barrie in the back end, with the absence of Oscar Klefbom. So the biggest storyline is with no training camps, with no exhibition games, how quickly this team can gel. They got a lot of new players. Who's going to play up with Connor McDavid? Who's going to play on Draisaitl's left wing? Will it be Nuge or will he play with McDavid? So I think that's one for sure. The goaltending, obviously, people here in Edmonton not too happy about Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen back for another season. So I think just seeing how the new players fit in and the goaltending for sure. What needs to happen for the best case scenario? Best case scenario, Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith play lights out. Even if they're just as good as they were last year, this team will be a playoff team. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit tougher, but I think best case scenario for this Edmonton Oilers team is the goaltending shows up and performs and takes this team into the playoffs. What would be the worst case scenario? Oh, there's so many to choose from. You can go back to goaltending again. Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen, just can't get it done. Struggle mightily. I think that's worst case scenario. And also the defense. Look at the decor here. Klefbom's a huge loss. Now you're depending on guys like Ethan Bear and Caleb Jones to take an enormous step forward and all that. So a decor that I think 1-6 is better, but we'll wait and see. Klefbom's a big loss. So I think worst case scenario is that defense and goaltending don't hold up. How will the division realignment affect your team's chances this season? I think it's going to be tough. This is a team that can't afford to miss any more playoffs. So, in a regular world, sports world, I guess, I think the Oilers would have a really good chance. But now you're playing in a division where, six out of the seven teams should be playoff teams. So, outside of Ottawa, who's kind of in that rebuild, there's going to be two very good teams left out. And knowing the Oilers' history here in the last 10, 12, 13, whatever years you want to call it, they've struggled mightily. So, it's going to be tough, a little worrisome, but when you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, sky's the limit. So we're hoping for the best. Player whose career trajectory is most impacted this season, either good or bad, I think it's Darnell Nurse. He's beloved in the city. I think expectations for him are sometimes a little too high. He is a good defenseman. He is an NHL defenseman. I just don't think he can be that top-pairing guy. He struggles mightily defensively. He struggles moving the puck. His points and all that are fine. He's a tough guy. A lot of guys don't want to mess with him and all that, but he's a defenseman first, and that's where he struggles the most, is in his own end. So, he's coming into that two-year deal where he's getting paid a lot of money, and he wants to hit the home run after that. But this is a guy that struggled when Klefbom was out with the minutes, and we'll see if he can handle it. He's gonna have to. So he's either gonna take an enormous step forward, or he's gonna trend backwards here. So I think Darnell Nurse, this is a huge season for him. My best guess on how the season ends, I know on the radio we've been discussing this for months now, and I have no idea, to be honest with you. The Oilers should be right there. I don't know who I would put first in this Canadian division, which is crazy, but I think as long as you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and your defense is good and your goaltending is good, I think they'll be in the mix for that top four playoff spot in the Canadian division. So just because I think the Oilers can't miss and the pressure is extremely on, I think they'll get it done, and they'll probably squeak in. That's kind of their the way they do things. So I'll definitely say the Oilers make the playoffs, but I don't see them leading the division. I think they'll be in that maybe third, fourth spot as the season wraps up.
If you're looking for fantasy value in Edmonton, try Tyson Barrie. After a slow start with Toronto last season, Barrie bounced back after the coaching change and produced as expected because he got some time on the first power play unit. Well, with Oscar Klefbom out, Barrie will move in to quarterback the Oilers' power play, and that's a great spot for anyone. Barrie will likely have production that is much more familiar based on his years in Colorado. Now, a player who might have falling fantasy value is Zach Cassian. Bruising wingers had back-to-back 15-goal seasons and had a career-high 34 points last season. But he's also been very fortunate to skate alongside Connor McDavid for significant periods. With the Oilers getting more capable forward depth, that means more competition for playing time, whether it's Dominic Cahoon or Jesse Puljujarvi. There are other players who are going to be competing for spots in the top six, and that means Cassian could easily slide out of a top six role, and his fantasy value would come crashing down.
Thanks for joining the show, Hernan Salas. Next up, the Montreal Canadiens haven't been shy about making moves in the offseason, so Locked On Canadiens hosts Scott Matla and Laura Saba have the latest details on their team, their new additions, and some exciting young players.
Hey, this is Laura Saba alongside Scott Matla. We're from Locked On Canadiens, and we want to talk about the biggest storylines heading into this upcoming season. So, Scott, let me ask you, what is the biggest storyline heading into the season, would you say?
Are these Canadiens for real? We saw how well they played in the return to play against the Penguins and the Flyers. They went out this offseason, made a huge splash, getting Josh Anderson, getting Jake Allen, signing Tyler Toffoli, signing Corey Perry, and all these other players. Is this team going for it, or did they make a whole bunch of moves for the wrong reason and there aren't any better than last year? So we're going to find out how good are the Montreal Canadiens actually this season.
What would you say, other than having to stay healthy, which is an absolute given, what needs to happen for the best case scenario for this season?
I think Josh Anderson returns to being that 20-goal power forward that he was with Columbus before he got injured. Tyler Toffoli continues to be consistent. And Carey Price, now with an actual NHL-quality backup being Carey Price, gives them the best-case scenario. If all these things kind of fall into a row, the Canadiens should be competing for a division title and should be seen as legitimate contenders, because we saw what they did last year with a healthy, rested Price in the playoffs. Getting that for an entire season and the postseason in a 56-game season would be humongous for this team and the best possible case scenario for them.
And other than injuries, what would lead to the worst case scenario?
Jake Allen falls apart. Carey Price falls apart. Joel Edmondson can't step into the role that he needs to. Ben Chiarot and Shea Weber regress from where they were at. Josh Anderson, if he isn't fully recovered, if he isn't the player that he was before his shoulder injury, the Canadiens could be in trouble because they signed Josh Anderson for 7 years. That's not a small thing whatsoever. And we look at this team every year. We wonder if Thomas Tatar, Brendan Gallagher, and Philip Deneau can do it. Yes. If any other big pieces take that step back, or if Jonathan Drouin can't find that playoff form he had with Nick Suzuki, we might see the Canadiens struggle a little bit, honestly, this year. And the worst case scenario is that all their big moves don't pay off in any way. Or, like, middling returns are an improvement, but if they don't get any good news out of any of those, they spent a lot of money on a lot of nothing then, and that's going to likely be the end of Marc Bergevin's time in Montreal.
And how will division realignment affect the Canadiens' chances this season?
I honestly think getting out of a division that has Boston and Tampa Bay in it makes the Canadiens' playoff chances a lot better. Because the division is very top-heavy, teams like Edmonton and Toronto, and very bottom-heavy, teams like Vancouver and Ottawa, who are at the bottom of that. And Montreal could be anywhere from, fifth in that division to finishing first. Projections have them all over the place. And since the top four teams in each division make the playoffs this year, I think this is a huge chance for them to get back into the playoffs and truly make some noise in a shortened season. Helps, like I mentioned before, keeps Carey Price rested. This divisional realignment is a huge deal for them. The games are going to be a lot more intense. We know how games against Toronto and Ottawa already go, but now we're going to be seeing teams like the Canucks, like the Flames and the Oilers so much more often now that it adds a new level of excitement to it. And I think the Canadiens are going to be one of those playoff teams. And I couldn't say that with the same certainty when they were in the Atlantic division beforehand.
And who on the Canadiens, whose career trajectory is most impacted this season, either good or bad?
That's tough because there's so many options on the Canadiens. I think Josh Anderson might be the most likely one because he's coming off a one goal season where he was injured, wasn't back for the playoffs, and has a lot to prove. And if he comes back and looks great, his career's back on track. But if he comes back and struggles, we're going to hear nothing but, is Josh Anderson washed up? Is Josh Anderson even good anymore? Was it a mistake to trade Max Domi for Josh Anderson, even though Anderson is what this team needed? It really does seem like Josh Anderson is going to be that person that a lot of people focus on this year, just because of all the circumstances that brought him to Montreal and how much is riding on him getting back into form.
And finally, what is your best guess on how this season will end?
Painfully for somebody. I think the Canadiens are going to end as a playoff team. I don't know if they get over the hump this year, but if there was ever a year to do it, it would be this one. But this is the kind of year that I think we're going to see a surprise team that is either healthy or rested or full of players who might have been playing during the break between last season and this one, kind of surprising someone. It feels like we're going to have a surprising Stanley Cup final this year, for whatever that means. No, I don't know what team it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be a repeat for Tampa Bay. I think we're going to get a really surprising Stanley Cup final between two very unexpected teams. We could see someone like Carolina or the Islanders facing someone like, maybe not Vegas isn't surprising, but someone surprising from the West out there. And I think we're going to have a new Stanley Cup champion this year.
And that is our preview, I guess our best guesses as to what's going to happen this season. Thank you so much. And don't forget to follow us at @LO_Canadiens. And please subscribe to Locked On Canadiens wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're looking for fantasy value in Montreal, consider Jeff Petrie. The veteran blue liner has double-digit goals and at least 40 points in each of the past three seasons. And he's recorded at least 100 blocks and 100 hits in the same season 6 times in his career. Those numbers aren't quite as glamorous, but that helps make Petrie underrated. On the other hand, as skilled as Jonathan Drouin might be, it's awfully hard to trust him at this point in his career. He only played 27 games last season and managed 15 points, but his role with the Habs seems less and less secure, especially now that the team has improved its depth up front. There's always the risk that Drouin gets bumped down the depth chart.
Thanks to Scott and Laura for joining the show. We head back west now for the other half of the Battle of Alberta. Locked On Flames host Jess Belmosto is up next with all of the news about the Calgary Flames.
When the season ended last year, the biggest storyline was goaltending. And in the offseason, the Flames took it upon themselves to sign Jacob Markstrom, which really fixes the goaltending problem. And obviously, I think heading into the season, that storyline still remains the same, but just with a different narrative, because now they have a really strong competitive goaltender between the pipes who can take a lot of the pressure off of the defense in terms of, you know, they're not going to be standing on their head for 60 minutes because they have, you know, a backup goalie in net, regardless of who, you know, whether it was David Riddick or Cam Talbot. Now they have like a legitimate goalie, so they're not going to have to stand on their heads, and it's going to be a fun one to watch. I think, you know, obviously they're all going to be shaking off the dust a little bit as we head into the season, but I think it's going to be a good one. And oh gosh, best case scenario is obviously the team is a cohesive unit. Everybody is performing at their, you know, their proper levels, and nobody is kind of trailing or slacking behind, and they're all carrying their weight, and especially that top line. And you want to see consistency from your top line players, your top six players, really. That's what's going to get you to succeed. If everybody is in the same, like on the same wavelength, on the same page in terms of, oh, we're actually showing up to play today, instead of, you know, kind of only having one or two players show up on a regular basis. And it just needs to be a disciplined game for the Flames because, you know, last season, or really over the summer in the playoffs, I hate even calling it last season because it doesn't feel like a season ago. But anyway, If the Flames become undisciplined like they looked in the playoffs, I do think that is going to lead to some of the worst case scenario situations, which is going to be them not winning games, potential injuries, suspensions. You obviously don't want to harp on the negative, but there are parts of the Flames game that is undisciplined. I think of Zach Rinaldo in the playoffs when he had like 6 penalty minutes in one game, I believe, and it was just so frustrating because I believe that between him and Lucic taking time in the sin bin, there were like 3 goals scored. So it just was very frustrating to watch. And of course, you're going to want your goaltending to stay strong. You don't want that to fall apart. And again, that's the biggest storyline heading into the season. So there's a lot of pressure on Markstrom. And I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be great. And especially because he has a lot of friendships with former Canucks players who also signed with the Flames, and he's friends with Elias Lindholm, and it's going to be great. It's going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the chemistry, you know, kind of changes and gets stronger. I was way too confident with the realignment at first, simply because I was only focusing on the Flames additions and what they had added, and not really looking around at teams like Toronto and Montreal. I think that it's easy to kind of get caught up in your off-season hype and looking at what your team specifically did. And I think the Flames are going to have a good season. I don't necessarily know if they're going to be a top 3 team. I wish I could say that, but you know, Montreal got considerably better over the last 2 years, and having to play them, and they just signed Corey Perry, which is a little terrifying, but I think it's going to be a highly competitive division, and it's, you know, I think the Flames finish strong, but I don't necessarily know if they're going to have that solid playoff push that, you know, they typically might. The one thing I am worried about is, of course, Corey Perry, because, you know, when you have an instigator like Matthew Tkachuk on your team, and a headhunter, you're going up against a headhunter 8 times a year, 9 times a season, rather, it's going to be a little hard to stay confident with that, but I think it could be a fun matchup, and I think the Oilers, those 10 games against them are going to be really awesome as well. I think more competition, and that rivalry is only going to get more intense. So I'm looking forward to that. Marc Giordano is playing in his final year of this contract, and as a 37-year-old, I obviously have to kind of focus on the negative here for a moment. They are playing 9 sets of back-to-backs, which is a lot, I think, in any season for anyone, really. But I think that that's going to take an impact on his time on ice, how often he plays in those back-to-backs. And you kind of have to think about, as the season goes on and later into those back-to-backs, really, is it worth putting your captain out there on the ice for that? Now, I'm not saying he needs to be scratched or anything, but can you kind of shuffle him around to where his time on ice is a little less, say if things are not going well and, you know, he starts to show his age a little bit there? Can you shuffle that around and make something work? I'm not saying he needs to be your 7th defenseman, but it would be interesting to see kind of how that impacts his season. And on a more positive note, I think that it is helpful for players who kind of had a decline last year in numbers, you know, players like Matthew Tkachuk and Johnny Gaudreau, because it kind of gives them a chance to find their groove again in a shortened season and kind of find their confidence. I don't necessarily think Tkachuk is struggling with confidence at all. Like I've said a million times before, he is the heartbeat of this team. But again, it kind of comes back to Johnny Gaudreau. What can he do? How can he step up? And again, those consistency issues. My best guess on how the season ends. Oh boy. Okay. Well, I know that one team is going to take home the Stanley Cup, and you know, you can quote me on that because that's, you know, big if true, bold prediction there. I don't necessarily think it's going to be a Canadian team, and I don't think it's going to be a team like the Washington Capitals, who just significantly increased the average age of their roster by signing Zdeno Chara. But I want to say that it will be like last year, where we kind of have a free-for-all come playoffs, and you know, we get a matchup like the Stars and Bolts again, and just kind of, you know, that typical team you expect coming out of one division that's super highly competitive and then just the underdog. So it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully it's a safe season for all.
When looking for fantasy value in Calgary, Andrew Mangiapane finished last season with 13 points in his last 12 regular season games. So there's reason to be hopeful for his production moving forward. He's more of a depth player for fantasy purposes right now. There's some real upside if he can continue to produce and maybe see an increased role. On the other hand, there is a point at which it's okay to draft Sean Monahan, but there's going to be risk involved. Last season's 48 points was a career low, and yet he still scored on 13.3% of his shots. If he runs into a season where the percentages really fall, it could get ugly. It probably won't get that bad, but given where Monahan will get drafted, there should be better options.
Thanks to Jess for joining the show. Up next, we check in on the Vancouver Canucks, but first, let's talk about RockAuto.com. Right now, you have about a million different choices for where you can get all of the parts that you need for your car or your truck. And when you've got all these choices, why wouldn't you pick the one that is going to get you the best price? At RockAuto.com, you're going to pay the same price whether you're a professional, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer, or you're somewhere in between. Prices are always reliably low, so you know you're getting the best deal possible. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business. They have been serving customers online for more than 20 years. You can go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. The site is super easy to use. They have everything you could possibly need, whether it's carpet, oil, brake parts, and windshield wiper like I need on my car. You can find everything in just a few easy clicks, and it gets delivered directly to your door. So do yourself a favor, save some money, shop at a place that you know is going to take care of you. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts that they've got for your car. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. NHL, we are going to be doing these previews as we get ready for the start of the regular season. I am glad to be bringing you the Locked On NHL preview series as we give you the details on all 31 teams, division by division, and we tell you who to pick up and drop in your fantasy leagues, courtesy of Locked On Fantasy host Scott Cullen. Make sure you're subscribed to this show, to Locked On NHL, wherever you get your podcasts, so you make sure you don't miss a single moment of any of our preview shows. Now, Locked On Canucks host Justin Morissette is back with a look at the team that has quite a number of young, exciting prospects making waves on their roster.
Hi, I'm Justin Morissette, host of Locked On Canucks, and this is a season preview for the 2021 season for those Vancouver Canucks who had themselves, well, not the best offseason, but there's still all kinds of storylines to be excited about heading into this new year. And the biggest of which, well, it's a couple, I guess. It's entirely on the back end. That's where the Canucks saw the majority of their departures over the offseason, losing blue liners like Chris Tanev and Troy Stetcher, losing their star goaltender, a guy who really carried the team through a lot of difficult situations last season in Jacob Markstrom. Tanev and Markstrom gone to the Calgary Flames. Troy Stetcher now a Detroit Red Wing. It was a bad free agency period for Vancouver, but they did bring in some new faces as well. Nate Schmidt, the big addition on the blue line, he is going to more than fill the departure of Chris Tanev. Will be better than Tanev was, in fact, in years previous. However, that Stetcher loss on the third pairing could prove to be quite an Achilles heel if, you know, certain guys who do not have NHL experience, who are going to be taking that jump up from Utica, are not quite able to deliver at the level that Stetcher did. All eyes, however, though, have to be between the pipes because Jacob Markstrom was easily this team's MVP for the last several seasons, and he is no longer there. In his place, we have Thatcher Demko, who is being counted on to step up and fill very big shoes. Well, maybe. We're not exactly sure. Are the Canucks going to go to Thatcher Demko as their de facto number one right out the gate, or are they going to look at offseason addition Braden Holtby as the guy who can shoulder that load while Demko might not yet be ready for it? That is kind of the big story of this season, and is where the majority of fan interest has to lie, because you know what you're getting on a consistent basis, night in and night out, from young players like Elias Pettersson, from young players like Quinn Hughes. We want to expect elite stuff on the same level as those two fellas from Thatcher Demko as well. Might be too soon, might be time for Braden Holtby to carry the mail for a little bit, but should Holtby falter, of course Demko showed in the playoffs last season against the Vegas Golden Knights that he does have the potential to throw this team on his back and be just as exceptional, if not even more so, than Jacob Markstrom has been in years previous. Now, this could very easily be a great year for the Canucks. It could very easily be a not-so-good one. Of course, their depth is going to be tested, and they don't have a lot of it, certainly defensively, as I mentioned. But in terms of looking at this Canadian division, the Canucks really do have a special opportunity here. Look, I don't think they're going to win the division. I do think they're going to finish behind Toronto and possibly even Edmonton. I would say probably definitely Edmonton in the regular season standings, but that doesn't mean that they wouldn't be able to make it through those teams come the playoffs. Every single division is going to be entirely self-contained until we get to the conference finals, which means for the Canucks, you can go all the way to the, you know, third round while only having to make it through perhaps a Winnipeg or a Calgary, depending on how things break. The toughest team you're going to have to beat in the postseason to make it to the conference finals is the Toronto Maple Leafs, and watching the Leafs in years previous, is that an accomplishable goal? Absolutely it is, if you're this Canucks team. But it could also go very sideways, because familiarity can go kind of one of two ways. The Canucks, you know, have been shooting on Jacob Markstrom in practice and probably know his tendencies pretty well over the years, but at the same time, he probably knows their shooting tendencies pretty well as well. And if he decides to go Super Saiyan, to be Superman, to just go God mode, play out of his brain the way we have seen he is capable of doing in Vancouver over the last several years, well, that is going to be a very costly departure, because Jacob Markstrom, not just no longer with the Canucks, but playing now for a team that they are going to face 10 times this season. And he could really torch his former club if he just shuts them out. Now, I'm not going to say that's going to happen all 10 times, but those games are going to be pivotal. And this is a division where, you know, I think the high end is set with Toronto and Edmonton, but that mushy middle, you could finish anywhere. This is a Canucks team that could very well see the losses on the back end and the rookies having to step in and fill those roles not be able to do it and not make the playoffs. It could go one of either way. I guess that's why we have to watch them play the games this year. But if I have to bet on this team, if I have to place a wager right at this exact second, I do think that this is a team that, fingers crossed, if they do not see any significant injuries to Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes, those two guys are basically all of their hopes and dreams wrapped into two blue sweaters this season. You know, if we do see an injury to those guys, it's pooched. If we don't, though, you know, the Canucks might not have the best depth in the country, but they might have the two best positional players, forward in Elias Pettersson and defenseman in Quinn Hughes. Those two guys could force this team in this division as it is this season into the postseason. And you know what? Watching them and the way they played in the playoffs last year, I'd have a hard time betting against them. I do think that Pettersson and Hughes do put this team into the playoffs. How far they go from there, well, we'll see. We're a good ways away from that yet. We'll cover that in a playoff preview if the team gets that far, but that's your season preview for the Vancouver Canucks.
If you're looking for fantasy value in Vancouver, how about veteran Alexander Edler? Well, the young guys are the real source of excitement For the Canucks, Edler remains a productive blue liner. Despite some injuries, he has three straight seasons with more than 100 hits and 150 block shots, scoring a total of 101 points in 185 games. That'll play, and you probably don't have to take him too early to get that kind of production. Now, on the other hand, maybe veteran netminder Braden Holtby benefits from a fresh start in a new locale. But I'm wary of a 31-year-old goaltender who has a .906 save percentage in the past three seasons. Joining a Vancouver team might be a little on the shaky side defensively, especially compared to the Capitals team he just left, doesn't help matters for Holtby.
As always, great to hear from Justin. We head back east now to round out our look at the North Division. First, Harrison Lee, host of Locked On Jets, has a look at what's going on in Winnipeg.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Winnipeg Jets podcast and our season preview for the 2021 season. I'm your host, Harrison Lee, an avid Winnipeg Jets fan and an online blogger. You can follow my personal Twitter at HOLivingLoco and follow our podcast Twitter at LO_WinnipegJets. We are rolling on up to the January 13th tentative start date, and there are a variety of questions facing the Winnipeg Jets. What is this team going to look like? How is it going to perform? Who even knows what's really going to happen? For the Jets, there's a lot of uncertainty, but the main storyline that I think we're going to see this upcoming season is whether or not Winnipeg can essentially overhaul its defense and perform at a level that should be closer to expectation for a team that, just a few seasons ago, was competing for a Stanley Cup. This team has fallen on hard times in terms of defensive departures and a little bit of roster upheaval, and this upcoming season is going to be even crazier because it's on a shortened 56-game schedule and they'll be facing an all-Canadian division. All of these changes might actually favor the Jets in some respects because we're going to be looking at a team that, you know, for the most part wasn't really able to fix its defense in the way that it wanted to, but maybe made a few additions by subtraction and added in a couple of depth players who might actually be pretty underrated and decent if things pan out. To win the Cup and have the best case scenario and best outcome and everyone smiles and is happy, the Jets are going to need that defense to actually perform above expectations from last year. Last year, the defense was one of the worst in the leagues. It was basically untenable, unwatchable, and was part of the reason Connor Hellebuyck had to work so hard to get his Vezina trophy. And if, you know, this defense is going to add a guy like Ville Heinola, maybe the Jets are actually going to be a little bit more competent in their own end. One of Sandberg and one of Heinola seems like a potentially decent option to fit into this team, but I don't know if Maurice would do that, and if they're not really interested in giving them a lot of ice time, then I'm not really sure it's worth bringing them into the NHL team. Both need to be getting pro time somewhere, whether it's in Finland, somewhere in the AHL. Anywhere they can play is probably more preferable to sitting on a taxi squad or sitting in the box. The flip side of this coin is Winnipeg's defense starts to crumble and in fact is not capable of improving upon last season, which I think is fairly unlikely. I think the Jets defensively are at least going to be a little bit better than they were last season. I think it's going to be more a case of addition by subtraction, like I said earlier, by swapping out some of the lesser defenders with more NHL-ready or experienced veterans who are actually pretty decent, I think the Jets are going to look a little bit more competent and hopefully more mobile on their back end. I do worry about the forwards a bit. Even with the addition of Paul Stastny, last year they really struggled to create offense in part because Paul Maurice asked them to sit really deep in their defensive zone and try and assist with man marking, a little bit of zone coverage, and trying to bail out the blue line, which couldn't really move the puck. Kinda killed this team's offense, and I think eventually he realized that towards the end of the season because we started to notice that the team got more aggressive at the blue line, started pushing a bit more and cheating a bit more for counters, and it actually led to the Jets being a little bit more like a break-even scoring chance team, which is, you know, it's not great, but it's better than like lottery team, which we saw for at least half the season. The worst case with that is that the team doesn't really improve and still sucks, especially at creating even strength offense, which would not be ideal. I think this team is capable of much more than that, and hopefully they show us because watching this team play like the Detroit Red Wings again for at least half a season is going to be a big problem. The good news is that because of the divisional realignment, I think Winnipeg's odds of making something like a postseason spot are actually significantly better. I think they play the Ottawa Senators like 8 or 9 times, maybe 9 or 10 even, which for the Jets would be fantastic. The Sens may have embarrassed them in previous games, but I think in a long series, you know, between these two teams, the Jets are just going to curb stomp the Sens. Ottawa is struggling right now. You know, they're led by Brady Tkachuk and, of course, Thomas Chabot. But beyond that, there's not a whole lot there. There are a few talented players, and Tim Stützle will probably enter the mix at some point. But I don't know, man. Ottawa's in a really tough spot, and I think the Jets are going to make short work of those matchups. I would not be too concerned about the Jets in this Canadian division, aside from, like, Montreal and Toronto. I think those are the only two teams that are going to give the Jets genuine fits, and even then, maybe not enough for Winnipeg to be too concerned. I think the Jets are going to make a playoff spot, and I think this divisional realignment really ups their odds, because in the Central Division, they had some pretty stiff competition. Here in the Canadian Division, a lot less worrying. From this upcoming season, I expect that we're going to really be watching like one player in particular, and I think that's going to be Cole Perfetti. This is going to be a huge year for him because this would likely be, if he plays, the first season of his real professional experience that allows him to start building his Winnipeg resume. I don't know that he's a lock for this team, but to be honest, I don't know where else he would play except for the AHL, and if he gets AHL time, I think that's totally fine. I would not be too concerned about that. I think he'll be ready for pro duty at a higher level like the NHL, and I would rather him start to get at least a couple of games to get a sense of where his skills are at, where his development track is at, and what sort of stage he needs to start focusing on next for his development track, rather than starting off in the AHL. But if he comes into camp and they think he's still too raw, I would totally understand if they send him down for at least a couple of weeks in the AHL to start to acclimate to the pro level and get a little bit faster. With everything that's happened, I do expect that the Jets will make the postseason. I think it's going to be a little bit closer than Winnipeg will want, but I think the Jets are good enough as is to make the playoffs, especially in this new structure, and maybe get passed around. I don't know more beyond that. But, you know, the squad has a lot to live up to, and I think that a lot of the players have probably been frustrated and annoyed with how the past couple of seasons have gone ever since their Stanley Cup run. I think the Jets have a lot to prove. I think they want to make some noise this season. I'm predicting a playoff spot. Let's hope they actually win a cup, too.
If you're looking for fantasy value in Winnipeg, stick with Blake Wheeler. 34 years old would normally be a time to trade cautiously with an NHL player in terms of future value, but it's hard to envision Wheeler suddenly not being productive. He had four straight seasons with at least 70 points prior to last season, when he had 65 in all 71 games. And that's also part of Wheeler's appeal. He's missed a total of four games in the past seven seasons. So you know he's going to play, and play a lot, and produce a lot.
Thanks to Harrison for joining the show. Finally, we close with the Ottawa Senators. They've got Tim Stützle, and they're working hard on their rebuild, but they're still at the bottom of the list for BetOnline.ag's predictions. Locked On Senators hosts Brandon Piller and Ross Levitan share their hopes for this season's Senators squad.
Hey guys, Ross Levitan here alongside Brandon Piller with the Locked On Senators podcast. And following three lottery finishes back to back to back, the Ottawa Senators are finally looking forward to some wins in the 2020-21 season. Pilsy, what is the biggest storyline surrounding this Ottawa team?
The biggest storyline, Ross, is third overall pick, Timmy Stützle, coming to Ottawa. He signed. He's going to be in the NHL roster this season. But who's he going to play with? How effectively can he make the jump from DEL to NHL? How many points is he going to rack up? We're going to have to wait and see. But Timmy Stützle is going to be a difference maker for the Sens this season.
And if you want to learn about what makes Tim Stützle tick, we actually were able to have the young Timmy superstar on Locked On Senators. So you can go listen to that. Mid-November is when he joined us and only signed his contract in mid-December. So there was always that hesitation. Is he staying in Germany one more year? So he is wrapped up in a best case scenario for the Ottawa Senators. He hits the ground running, puts up a Calder season, and he gets to play with some veterans. Ottawa brought in Evgeny Dadonov. We'd love to see those two get some chemistry. And then you have Brady Tkachuk. It's his first contract year. He was on pace to be the first player in NHL history to record 300 plus shots on goal and 300 plus hits, a complete monster on the forecheck. You can only expect him to be better with age. Let's remember his older brother Matthew really took off points wise in his third season. Brady with back-to-back 20 goal seasons. If he contributes every night, this team has the chance of not finishing at the bottom of the standings, Pilsy. Now, on the other hand, what if things go off the rails? Where can you think they'll be able to point to?
Well, I think it all starts with goaltending and hashtag goalie friendly show. Matt Murray signed a big ticket deal when the Sens traded for him. If he's not able to bounce back from a poor performance last season, this team's going to be in trouble. I mean, you've got so much young talent, a weaker D corps, so Matt Murray's going to have to be a stud in the crease if this team's going to have any chance of making some noise. But Ross, they're going to have to make some noise differently than they usually do because of the all-Canadian division. How's that going to change the Senators' season?
Well, when you look, I'm going to roll right off of what you said with goaltending, and every team in Canada has an elite number one guy. I'd say out of the seven teams in Canada, five of them would be in the top 10 goalies in the league when you look at guys like Hellebuck, Price, Jacob Markstrom, and more. Sorry, Oilers, I would not include yours in that mix. But when you're looking at the Canadian division, that's just it. You have explosive offenses. You have some of the highest octane players across the league. And that's what Ottawa hopes to be in this next step of the rebuild, where you have young AHL talent that dominated the American League as 20-year-olds. Drake Batherson, could he come in and play at the level that we're seeing other teams have these guys that are able to step in? We already referenced Tim Stützle, but there's just so many guys on this team. Craig Button, TSN scout, was on our show, and he said that no team boasts the level of prospects that he believes are NHLers. So to compete in an all-Canadian division, those prospects need to take that much bigger of a step up. A lot of prognosticators, probably rightfully so, have Ottawa in seventh, but hey, if there's one more high draft pick, that's just it. But where I feel this Ottawa team could surprise is the second and third games, because Pierre Dorion made it his mission to add grit, toughness, and leadership this offseason. And with the playoff style schedules with 2, 3, 4 games against the same opponent, that's where that you can wear down teams and you can cause them to maybe get out of their offensive rhythm. We've seen that happen with their rivals like Toronto and Montreal in the past. So that's the style of hockey that DJ Smith coaches, and that's what they're going to need to be successful in a Canadian division, Pilsy. How are you feeling, not only about the division realignment, but there's always players whose trajectory, it's almost a make-or-break situation. Where will all eyes be on this Ottawa team? Who is it that has the most pressure on him?
I would say it's got to be Logan Brown. This is an 11th overall pick from 4 years ago who's been riddled with injury and hasn't been able to break through to the NHL. He's a big, puck-moving, vision centerman. When he's healthy in the AHL, he dominates, but then he only got fourth-line minutes in the NHL last season. That's not going to cut it for a guy like Logan Brown. We're going to have to see him take a much bigger role with the Ottawa Senators, and the Senators acquired more center depth, and he's going to have to work hard to surpass those players. This is the last year of his entry-level deal, so he's going to have to prove to management that he's worth re-signing, or they may choose to move on from him. So, Ross, what is your best guess on how this season ends for our Ottawa Senators?
Well, we touched on it briefly in the division realignment. It got harder because the Buffaloes, the Detroits, they're no longer there. There's no easy game in the North this season. Every team thinks they have Stanley Cup aspirations, maybe aside from Ottawa. Can they surprise? Yes, but this is another lottery pick season for Ottawa. But if we do this next year, Pilsy, it could be an entirely different situation.
And Ross, the beauty's in the games itself, and we'll be with you every step of the way at Send Center on Twitter, the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.
If you're looking for fantasy value in Ottawa, consider Evgeny Dadonov. There may have been a tendency to overlook Dadonov's production in Florida after he returned from the KHL, but it did include 182 points in the past three seasons. And as a skilled player who can produce on the power play and drive possession at even strength, he should be the focal point of the Ottawa attack. Now, if you're looking at a player whose fantasy value may not thrive in Ottawa, I'm going with Josh Norris. After Norris put up 61 points in 56 AHL games last season, my expectations were relatively high for him coming into this NHL season. He would play a regular role, maybe in Ottawa's middle six. There would be some opportunity to see whether or not he can produce offensively at this level. After the Sens traded for Derek Stepan, those expectations were diminished a little. Norris may still find his way to a regular role in Ottawa's top nine. The path isn't as clear right now, and for a rookie, that adds just another layer of risk to the equation.
Thanks to Brandon and Ross. That is all for today's look at the North Division. Make sure you're following all of our great hosts, their great shows on social media, subscribe to their shows, all that great stuff. Whether you want to keep up with your own favorite team or you want to know what the enemy's up to, we have got you covered. Come back tomorrow to Locked On NHL for previews from all of the teams in the East Division. We'll be taking a look at all of those. So make sure you're subscribed to this show if you haven't already. If you're listening for the first time or you're back for the first time in a while, make sure you've hit that big old subscribe button in your podcast app of choice. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnNHLPods. You can keep up with all of the great stuff going on across the network. We're highlighting awesome shows, awesome guests. We've had a ton of current players, prospects, former players, all joining Locked On NHL shows across the network. So a lot of really cool stuff is happening. And you can find it all on Twitter at LockedOnNHLPods. Make sure you leave a rating or a review of this show if you're enjoying what you're hearing. Tell all your friends about it and make sure that all the hockey fans you know are on board with Locked On NHL as we get ready for the season to start. Until next time, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.